Welcome to All Things Weddings, helping you navigate your wedding planning journey. And here are your hosts, Scott and Hannah.
Hello, welcome to All Things Weddings. I'm Scott, the photographer behind Scott Kearney Photography.
And I'm Hannah, the wedding planner behind Hannah Rachel Weddings. We're here to help you navigate your wedding planning, to freely share tips, insights, and behind the scenes so you hopefully feel less overwhelmed and stress-free while planning your gorgeous wedding. Wanting on all our tips and to listen to us chat to some of our favourite suppliers? Well then, let's dive straight in.
Hey Hannah, how's your week been? What's been happening?
It's been a really good week, actually. It's just non-stop. I don't know about you, but January for me, I think we probably said this last episode, is a very full-on month, which I love. I love to hit the ground running when it comes to a new year. But I'm just trying to get everything. I've new consultations like with my 2024 couples, and I've got full planning couples, partial planning couples. So there's a lot of exciting plans going on at the minute, which I'm absolutely loving. I'm just in the office a lot, which, you know, is quite nice compared to summer where you're out of the office a lot. So yeah, it's been lovely. What about you?
Yeah, like same with you. So like, yeah, a lot of office time is there in January, but it's nice just, yeah, reaching out to this year's couples and then planning anything I need to plan in. And like, generally inquiries are more, let's say, from like January, February, March time, a lot more now, like November, December. So yeah, generally quite busy with like emails and things. But yeah, otherwise trying to have a bit of time to like not be too crazy. I'm not shooting, you know, my other business, the like photography community kind of won the awards and stuff. That's always busy, like end of year and beginning of year and stuff. So yeah, so there's still plenty to do, but yeah, no weddings, and it's quite nice to be able to just be in the office. And we've had it's been super windy, hasn't it, like really stormy and just wet. And so yeah, it's kind of nice to be indoors at least for that part.
Yeah, all nice and cozy. Yeah, it's lovely.
What are we going to talk about in this week's episode?
So this week we thought it would be quite good to start talking about your wedding aesthetic. So we've got three details this week to consider when you start thinking and planning out your wedding aesthetic, your vibe, your colours, how you want your day to kind of look, that experience. So I thought that would be a nice one to kind of kick off in the beginning of the year. So should we just get straight into it, Scott?
Yeah, go for it. What's point one then?
So point one, we've plotted out thinking about the season you were getting married in. So I think it's really important to consider what season you're getting married in, because obviously you've probably chosen this for a reason. It could be that you maybe want a winter wedding because you hate summer, you hate the heat, you love that twinkly magical sort of time of the year, or maybe you want a summer because you love that kind of alfresco dining and being, you know, that inside out kind of vibe. So I think it's really important for you to consider what time of year you're getting married and how that might influence your choices. So might that have an impact on your colours, maybe your decor, your flowers? It's really important if you're considering flowers and asking, working with a florist, that you ask them about flower seasonality and what's in season at the you know, when you're getting married. And if your florists are maybe working with Dutch imports, then you might obviously have a broader spectrum of flowers that they can source for you. But if your florist is working with more British grown producers, then you may be quite limited to what flowers are out in Britain at the time, which I think is really, really important. Consider that's something a lot of florists are leaning towards now, aren't they, Scott? They're kind of looking more at sort of British growers and that kind of seasonality, and really honouring what's beautiful at each stage of the year. Is there anything that you kind of think is good in regards to that, Scott?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a great point about, like, say, thinking about, yeah, imports versus British, and that can go for food, it can go for flowers, kind of anything like that, that's kind of even wines, I guess, things that are seasonal. Obviously, it cuts down the carbon footprint. So if that's something that's important to you for your wedding and you know, things like that, then yeah, it's obviously going to be easier to use things in season. So that's definitely one consideration. Obviously, the weather's the one of the biggest reasons, I guess, the factors, isn't it, of whether you sort of go for summer. And I know last summer was surprisingly very wet, July and August, so you never know, but in general it's going to be warmer and probably more chance of being dry in the summer, you know, spring and stuff than it is in the winter. So yeah, it's definitely a factor. I think as well, like I say, just I guess even if you're like closing your eyes and you're imagining your day or however you want to imagine it, are you seeing, like you say, a summer festival-y, out very outdoorsy type wedding, or are you, you know, thinking more, let's say, candles and in a castle or a stately home, a bit more cozy, blankets, that kind of thing. So, you know, obviously there's a million different styles and ways you can go with things. But yeah, you know, if you're imagining certain seasons or certain things, then that might fit with, yeah, time of year anyway. So yeah, it's just things like that, isn't it? I guess, like I say, some people have a season that's important to them anyway. Like Sarah really wanted to, my wife really wanted to get married in spring because she loves spring and stuff. So we went for May. So yeah, you know, everyone's got their own personal preferences as well, I guess. But yeah, definitely worth it. It's something when you consider, I guess, going around venues, thinking about what it looks amazing, because I don't know, you might view it in the summer and you're like, oh, this is amazing. The outdoor space is incredible and the flowers and the trees and everything looks great. But if you're booking it for autumn or winter, just imagine it's going to be different. And like you say, whether it's a wet weather plan or a whatever, just have all contingencies basically, and I think that's the key. But yeah, they're the main points I reckon for season though.
Yeah, I think that you've had some really great points there, Scott. I think completely you really need to consider like that time of the year and how that's going to affect that the flow and the structure of your day and what spaces you can and can't use. That kind of leads quite nicely onto number two. So it's thinking about your venue. So whether that be a marquee, a yurt, or a stately home, a hotel, whatever your venue is, it's thinking about the different rooms and spaces and areas that you will be using throughout your wedding day. So it's thinking about where your ceremony will take place, where your drinks reception, canapes, you know, what spaces you're going to be using for your wedding breakfast, your evening reception. If you can't go outside because it's wet, what's the inside of alternative? And really thinking about those spaces and how you are going to use them. So how much time are you spending in each space? You know, any focal points that maybe you want to enhance, you know, is there any areas that you feel that would need sort of additional styling or decor or florals? How does that sort of work with your choices? I think it's really important to take inspiration from your venue and looking at, you know, a marquee is a quite a blank canvas. It's quite white, it's quite stark. You've got the very high ceilings, and it's thinking about that space and how you can maybe enhance that rather than sort of working against it almost. And again, if you've maybe got a stately home, you might find some of the decor quite grand. There might be maybe marble in there. There could be quite distinctive sort of coloured wallpaper or walls, or you know, different features, and it's thinking about how you can enhance them and how your color palette and your styling and your decor and your flowers work with that rather than against it. I think that's really important. And then it's thinking about how you are going to flow through those spaces and what you might need in each area to help sort of enhance your day. So for instance, if you're having a drinks reception outside, do you need any sort of furniture? Do you want it to feel really relaxed? Do you want there to be any furniture? Is there going to be any floral and sort of centerpieces? How's your drinks table going to look? It's all of those things which I think really make a big difference.
Yeah, it's important to think about space, isn't it? And when you say you're viewing venues or you're going around speaking to the coordinators or whatever, or you've got a planner, like, yeah, asking what you can use and what you can't as well, because sometimes, you know, not all venues, obviously some are very, you know, personal and will adapt to you. And obviously things like, say, marquees and things that are blank canvas are fairly open to what you want to do. But, you know, a lot of places, they'll kind of have their preferred option of like, well, this is where we have the ceremony, this is where we have, you know, your drinks reception, this is where we have the wedding breakfast, blah, blah, blah. But there might be other options if you're like, well, actually, we really like this room, or I don't know, could we maybe have it here? Or like, say, the wet weather thing of like, well, most people, yeah, we'll go out onto the terrace for drinks. Like, okay, great. If it's horrible weather, where would we then have drinks? Because a lot of places don't have a separate space that necessarily, because they kind of, you know, you go out on the terrace and that's that. But obviously, when you can't, are there people then stuck in a really small bar? Is it a bit cramped? And that, you know, it's just a factor of that time might not be what you envisage it if you, you know, if you haven't got that space. So yeah, definitely asking the questions of like what happens, you know, say if you've got bad weather, or what's, or what alternative do we have, because you may want to mix things up. And like you say with the decor, like, you know, sometimes people go all out in the ceremony space, and that's, it's great because, you know, that's one of the first things maybe the guests will see, because, you know, you go in, you sat in the ceremony, you want that space to look amazing. But it's also worth thinking you're probably in there for maybe 20, 30 minutes at most. You're mostly looking at each other anyway, and you're nervous because, you know, as a couple, because you're actually getting married at that point, and, you know, and all that. So, and everyone else is facing forward. And in terms of photography, a lot of times you're stuck in one place as a photographer anyway, or you can't move that much because of obviously where people are, and you don't want to disrupt the ceremony. A lot of the photos are focused pretty much on the couple, obviously, or the people in the front rows. And, you know, you're not maybe seeing stuff right at the back. So just, you can kind of consider if you've got, you know, if your budget is fairly unlimited, then doesn't matter, do what you want. But if you are thinking, well, yeah, we're limited with decor or what we can spend on florals or, you know, say decorative pieces, you could think, well, actually, is there much point in going too crazy in the ceremony space, because we're going to spend, you know, hours in where we're having the breakfast or where we're doing the, you know, the evening part of the day or whatever. Maybe we do more stuff there instead of having, like say, the ceremony space really decorated. Especially, like say, if it's a really nice room anyway, you don't need to go too crazy. And so, yeah, it does depend. And I look like the floral arches and stuff that you often get at the front of ceremonies, right, look amazing, obviously, and like they can be. But then a lot of times couples want to, you know, end up standing right underneath them, or because of the space at the front of the ceremony, you kind of end up right in there. And it is a lot harder for photography because, you know, you've got to work around that then. And I, you know, I like to be able to try and see both couples if I can. And sometimes you've got a big arch in the way. It's actually sometimes a bit trickier. So I think even things like that, just consider like, is there space for this? Should we just go a bit smaller on it? Or like say we could do something big in the room where we're having the wedding breakfast, maybe have a smaller part in the ceremony or something that can be moved. So like you say, you're kind of, you know, maximizing your budget there. But then it's just, like you say, you're going to have to speak to whoever's doing your decor, your flowers, to make sure that things can be moved, because, you know, oftentimes they'll set all this stuff up in the morning, don't they? And then they obviously they go and they're not around in the day to swap them around. So then it's down to the venue staff. Are they aware that they have to do that? Do they know how to do it without, you know, trashing it? So there's a lot of considerations. But yeah, I think on the whole, just knowing your options and what rooms can fit how many people and what rooms you're allowed to use and what you aren't allowed to use, especially if it's a venue that has perhaps multiple weddings at the same time. You know, obviously there are a few venues like that. Then, you know, you've got to consider, like, you might have gone to a wedding there and fallen in love with the venue, and then you find, oh yeah, you're not using that space, you know, we've changed the way we do things, you know, we use this space now or whatever. So yeah, just don't, you don't want to get caught out really, do you?
No, completely. And I think it's really important, like you said, to ask all those questions early on, because then when you are considering your decorative detail, your florals, you kind of know what you can and can't, what is achievable and what's maybe not. So you can discuss that with your suppliers. I think that's why, again, it's really good if you can do a site visit at your venue. You know, if you're maybe your florist or your stylist hasn't been to the venue before, they might well want to tag along and just kind of like visualize the space with you and kind of work out and discuss, you know, again, where your budget, how you can get the maximum for your budget. And I think that is really important. You know, you've got to, everybody's got a budget, whether you've got a big budget or a smaller budget, you know, everybody has a budget, and it's really important to consider where you can get the most out of that. And again, that goes on to point three, which you touched on slightly there, Scott, is about, can you repurpose? I think it is really important that you are chatting with your suppliers to work out how you can get the most out of the details that they are providing. So for instance, your ceremony, whatever you're having in your ceremony, because you are only in there maybe 30, 40 minutes, how can that then be moved to other elements of your day? So you can repurpose. That guest probably won't even realize, you know, they'll have left the ceremony, you're going into the drinks reception, you know, discuss who is going to repurpose that. It's really important, whether that's a coordinator, that's your florist, that's your stylist, you know, who is going to make those changes for you. But then they could, you know, you could have floral meadows that go onto the tables, bud vases, Candles could be dotted around, floral arches. Obviously, if you've got the space, they could maybe move to the entrance to make more of a focal point or a backdrop. There's loads of different things that you can do, but it's also important to know as well that there are some things that can't be moved, and I think having those really honest and open conversations with your supplier and telling them your vision, if you want an arch which is 8 foot tall and it goes around the front of your church and it has to be fixed to the church, the likelihood of that being able to be moved, it's very slim because of all the structure, and that's gone into all the prep work that's gone into fixing it to that specific location. The time involved with that, it is very unrealistic that that is going to be able to be moved. So it's having those conversations with your supplier and asking those questions so you know what is achievable, and then most likely be able to recommend an alternative. If they understand what you want to do and what you want to achieve, then they'll be able to help, and advise what will work and what won't. And I think it's also really important to think about, what your wedding breakfast sort of setup is going to be. Are you having rounds? Are you having trusses? What food are you having? Because, if you're thinking about putting big arrangements on, moving big arrangements from the ceremony to the tables, when you're having lovely sharing platters, is there space for all these details? It's got to work for every element of your day. There's got to have that flow and that consistency. And I think it's really important to consider, like we said in point two, how you're using the different spaces. So you can actually understand what is achievable and what's not.
Yeah, I mean another like just very niche photography point, but yeah, sometimes like you say, you go from epic table like centerpieces and stuff, and they do look amazing. Obviously, you get nice photos of the details, and they look great. But then for things like speeches, it can then be a bit tricky because I've got to kind of photograph through. You can't see people and stuff, and I think when you think about your guests sat around the table, they want to be able to see each other and chat to each other a bit. So just. Even just something like that, just maybe consider that, I guess, if you're going too crazy on the centerpiece, or get those ones where it's like slightly higher up, so you've got the space you can still see, but then you've got these really epic and these obviously then really tall, and then make a bit of a statement. So it's kind of, yeah, it's cool. But yeah, there's a lot of things you can repurpose. And I think at the end of the day as well, like, you're spending, most people spend quite a lot of money on a wedding day. So like I say, the more you can reuse is going to save you a little bit of money, as well as just be useful, especially things like flowers and stuff. Generally, obviously, they're not going to get reused after that wedding, they'll just get thrown. So, it's kind of be nice if you can utilize them a lot during the day and enjoy them, because then they're just going to get binned anyway. So.
But I think it's worth going back to that point on flowers. I think it's really worth speaking to your florist because I know some florists will help you bunch up the flower. If they know that you want to keep the flowers, they will help you to bunch them up so they can you can give them away to guests. Like some people include that in their pack down service, which I think is really special. If you've spent all that money on these beautiful flowers, they might last, days or weeks afterwards. So if you can give them to guests, or maybe you can give them to a local care home or your church, or I think that would it makes a big difference. And it's not just like putting all of those flowers on the compost heap or in a bin bag, which it always seems like such a shame to me. So definitely reach out to your florist and ask if that's something that they can help with.
Yeah, it's actually really cool. Yeah, it's a really good idea, isn't it? Because yeah, people can take it home and enjoy them for a few days, which is kind of much nicer than just getting, yeah, not enjoying them really. But yeah, also the cake is kind of not related to this point as such, but yeah, to make sure if you're going to cut it or like serve it, just do it at some point and make sure people know about it, because the amount of cake that seems to get left, because I think obviously a lot of people, they'll have a dessert anyway and not the cakes, and then kind of people are full, and then you're cutting the cake quite late on. So yeah, to make sure people know about it, I guess, because
Definitely.
I don't mind, because I always get a few pieces normally, and it's
Yeah.
good. But yeah, as always, I know we'd like had so much cake, we brought some home and we're giving it out to everyone we could, but we still had to get rid of some. It's like, it seems a bit of a
Yeah.
shame.
But the thing on the cake is what I always sort of say to my couple is, think about how much cake you want cutting up and ask, is, decide who's going to do that for you. Is it, you know, the responsibility of your caterer, your venue, who's your coordinator, who's cutting that up for you and putting it on platters and serving it, you know, and think about where that's going to be positioned so people can see it. It's normally quite nice if it goes out with evening food, you know, where everybody, if you can put it on a nice table with a bit of decor, some napkins or even some cake boxes, so then people can take home and munch, sort of, you know, when they get the munchies in the middle of the night, that's always a nice idea. But yes, definitely sort of chat to whoever is cutting that up so they know how much to portion and that they get it out. Because I think it is such a shame when you've spent so much money on a beautiful cake and it's absolutely delicious and nobody gets the opportunity to have a bite.
Yeah, it doesn't keep well, does it? The box is a great idea because, like I say, people are full, but they can then take it away, which is great. And yeah, definitely, like I say, if you're having an evening buffet, evening, whatever evening food style you're having, like, yeah, having it there, people then will generally eat it. Some great points there. I think we've done lots to think about there for people. So yeah, if anyone's got any questions, obviously let us know. We'll probably delve into these obviously more in longer episodes where we cover bits and pieces. But yeah, I think that's hopefully given people a lot to think about.
Fabulous. Hope so.
Cool. Well, enjoy the rest of your week, Hannah, and we'll see you all again soon.
Thanks.
Bye.
You have been listening to All Things Weddings. Subscribe for future episodes or head to allthingsweddingspodcast.com for all the show notes.